morning, Newville. The scripture reading this morning is from the Message. It's on the back of the bulletin. And I'll be reading from Romans 6 and Romans 8. Verses from Romans 6 and Romans 8. We talked this morning in our Sunday school, or I guess it's Sunday school. Yeah. Sunday school time. We kind of moved into talking about Jesus standing up in the temple and reading from the book of Isaiah, and how when he sat down after he had read those scripture verses about the Spirit of God is upon me, and to preach the good news, and the message was just so beautiful because it was him. It's hard for me to even kind of bring it to you how it came out for us, but when he sat down, everyone looked at him, and he just said, "Today in your hearing, this is coming, this prophecy is fulfilled." So it's really a powerful thing to be able to stand up here and read scripture to a congregation. It's a special thing, and it's a pleasure and a delight and a privilege for me to do that. Romans 6, 22 to 23, and Romans 8, 29. "But now that you've found you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do, and have discovered the delight of listening to God telling you, what a surprise. A whole, healed, put-together life right now, with more and more of life on the way. Work hard for sin your whole life, and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our Master. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his Son. The Son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him." May God add his blessing to that reading.
After last week's service, last week I talked about Louis Zamperini. And for those who weren't here last week, that is a book that I highly recommend. Tad turned me on to it. It's called Unbroken. And we got back to the house after the message, and the young adults were there for Matt's goodbye party, and Matt says to me, "What you talked about today was the heart of the gospel." Because that book, Unbroken, is about, at the bottom, the author, Hillenbrand, has on the cover of that book, it's about survival, resilience, and redemption. Well, that redemption word kind of hooked me, and I wonder if we know what it means. I think we all know what survival means. I think we all know what resilience means. But what about redemption? Redemption is one of those shun words, that a generation of Christians lived on years ago. Salvation, justification, redemption, and when we think of redemption, what is the definition of redemption? Well, redemption is something has been damaged or is no longer functioning as it should be. Redemption is to take that thing, and this is key, to restore it to its proper working service. Restore to its proper working service. Now, I've redefined that, and I call it genuine humanity. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Genuine humanity versus what I call the new normal. I'm going to define those things for you. What is the new normal? I'll tell you what the new normal is. You know what? I'm tired of this nonsense. I'll tell you that right now. The new normal is what the world is trying to foist on us to accept as the way things are now. You know what I mean? The new normal is watch network TV, which, as you know, I'm down on. I do not watch network TV. And I'm going to caution you on something. you will either buy into genuine humanity or you will buy into the new normal, depending on what you saturate yourself with. And we have to be very, very careful as God's people. I am constantly amazed. And believe me, I am no paradigm. And I am not saying I am, as a genuinely human one. But I'm constantly amazed at the things that God's people will even debate as whether they're right or wrong anymore. There are societal issues that are hugely important in this country and have divided this nation. And yet I hear Christians debating these issues and saying things like, we want to keep an open mind on these things. Listen, that's not what God says. And we have to be real careful about that. And we have to remember what it means to be genuinely human. Now, this is the enemy's ploy in your life. This is the enemy's ploy in my life. And if you don't buy into the new normal, what are you called? You're called an extremist. You're called a zealot. You're called out of touch. And this is the enemy's ploy. The enemy's ploy is to try and get us to accept, as God's people, the new normal. But Jesus, what did Jesus say? Jesus says, no, you don't understand. He said, I came to give you life, abundant life, real life. And what is he saying there? I came to give you genuine humanity. I came to put you back into proper working service. Let me give you an example in medicine. Years ago when I started practice, you've all gone in for blood tests, right? And when you have a blood test, there's a certain number that you get. Here's your number. Here's the normal range. Would it surprise you to know something? Those normal ranges in the years that I've been in practice have changed. Used to be, if you had a certain number, that was considered within the normal range. But here's what's happened in medicine. As the population has gotten sicker and have succumbed to a raft of degenerative illnesses, what they've done, what medicine has done, is we've broadened the range of normal. Instead of, now, and by the way, if you have a physician that buys into this, you know what you need to do? You need to get a new physician. Because instead of holding the patient's feet to the fire that they need to make certain lifestyle changes, that's unpopular, isn't it? You see, that's the difference between the new normal and genuine humanity. And this is what the church has done. The church has said, I think, not all churches, some churches have said, well, it's okay if you buy into the following things, because that is now the new normal. And the physician might say to you, it's okay if your range falls within this parameter, because that is now the new normal, and you know you don't feel good, and you know you're sick. Let me give you an example about blood sugar, for instance. You know what the normal fasting blood sugar used to be and still is? 90. If your fasting blood sugar is anything above 90, you've got a glucose problem. You have a carbohydrate tolerance, You know what the new normal now is for fasting blood sugar? 110. If you go in and have a fasting blood sugar and you have a number reading of 110, more than likely your physician will tell you that's within normal range. Oh, no, it's not within normal range. What has happened to the population? I'm telling you, the United States has a carbohydrate addiction. There are so many diseases and illnesses caused from carbohydrate addiction. It is a drug, and people are hooked on this, and it has caused arthritides. It is called cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, etc. Mental aberrations, carbohydrate intolerance. So what has happened, instead of telling patients, you've got to cut down on carbohydrate, or you're going to have a lot of health problems, they've said it's okay if your fasting blood sugar level is now 110. That's the new normal in medicine. And that new normal has crept into, I believe, the people of God and the church. Jesus came to put us back into proper working service. That's what genuine humanity is. Now, I want you to look at the back of your devotionals. The back of your devotionals. By the way, Jesus came to do something. And if you look at Jesus' ministry as any other way, you don't get the full breadth and scope of his ministry. Jesus did four things when he came. Get a hold of this. He gave an invitation. If you accepted his invitation, he gave you a welcome. After the welcome, he gave you a challenge. And after the challenge, he gives us a summons. He gives an invitation, he gives a welcome, he gives a challenge, and he gives a summons. And the summons is that God's people are to represent to the world genuine humanity, not the parody that the world has foisted on us, not the new normal that the enemy tries to get God's people to buy into. He wants us back into proper working service. Let me give you an example of proper working service versus improper working service. I had the privilege, as you know, and I talk about this all the time, and I'm not going to stop talking about it because I like it, that I had the privilege of playing on an excellent basketball team at Lexington. We got together, it's been 40 years, and just last weekend, my team still gets together. And Tad said to me, he said, that's a remarkable thing. He said, I don't think very many teams do that, and I agree with him. We had such a brotherhood of love on that team. Well, I played in the state championship. It doesn't matter who won the game. All right, it doesn't matter. But I was privileged to play in the state championship. Now, I got the tape of that game and the state runner-up game, which is really more important, isn't it? The state runner-up game was more important. And I made a DVD of the state runner-up game, made four copies for my boys. This is the difference between proper working service and the new normal. And I gave each of my boys downstairs in our basement, I had them stored, here's a DVD of your dad playing in the state tournament. Well, of course they're going to treasure that, right? Of course they're going to go home right away and watch it. Of course they're just going to really protect that. We've got a ping pong table downstairs where the DVDs are of Tim playing basketball. So I go downstairs and they're playing ping pong, and my DVDs that were supposed to be in proper working service, they used my DVDs of my state tournament. They set it down under the dresser to keep the ping pong balls from going under the dresser, see? So it worked. It did work. But that is not proper working service for those DVDs. You see, that's what I'm talking about. I look at just some self-disclosure here. I deal with a lot of people in my practice, and I get a glimpse into their lives and what they do and how they spend their time. And I'm telling you, a lot of them spend their time keeping ping pong balls from going under the furniture. You know what I mean? I mean, I take a history into their day sometimes because I have to know what kind of physical activity they do and what they eat. You would be amazed. The typical day for a lot of people, get up, have a donut, sit down, and watch TV. Stay there all day. Their life of humanity has slipped into something else that God had never intended. Shouldn't we as God's people represent to the world a different way of being human? Should we not show the world that our knowledge of our Lord and Master makes a material difference in our lives, and it makes a difference in our lives today, and it makes a tangible, concrete difference. If we are given the responsibility to reign, rule, and have dominion over creation, okay? That is the human mandate. Shouldn't we have reign, rule, and dominion over our own bodies? Does it not start there? Should we not represent to people the best that humanity can be? Born from knowing our Lord and Master? That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the new normal versus genuine humanity. Now, I want you to look at what Paul says about this, and this is on the back of your scripture. And I chose this translation, which is Eugene Peterson. He wrote, you've read his translation, it's called The Message. And sometimes he catches it. Sometimes he really gets the tenor of a verse. I want to see if this is you, and is it me? He's writing in Romans chapter 6, and the gist of Romans chapter 6 is, he says to people of God, and I'm saying to you, if you claim to be a man or woman of God, the following should be true about you. Right? There should be these characteristics. There are signs and symptoms. When a patient comes into the office, they have signs and symptoms that point me to what the condition is. There should be signs and symptoms about God's people that point the world to what genuine humanity is. Paul, he sums up this way. But now that you've found, you don't have to listen. Listen. You know what was a revelation for me? I'm going to pass it on to you. I don't have to play the world's game. I want to free you from that today. That's what Paul's saying here. He says, now that you've found, young people, sons, daughters, you don't have to buy into the new normal. That's going to free you. Because maybe you think you should. Because maybe the church has even told you you should. Because maybe we need to be more tolerant of these other point of views. And that causes a terrible, what Teresa calls, cognitive dissonance. It puts up such a turmoil in our minds. Well, we're God's people, yet we're being pulled and hammered at to act and live this way, which is the new normal. And Paul says, now that you've found that you don't have to listen to that, the new normal, he calls it to sin, tell you what to do. What do you discover? What will you discover in your life, Paul says? You will discover the delight of listening to God. Have you discovered that? The sequence is, you found something. When you found this thing, you made a discovery. And the discovery gave you delight. And what is it that you found and discovered that gave you such delight? You don't have to buy into the world's lie. You don't have to buy into the intellectual, cultural, governmental, educational, religious bullies of this world tell you what to do. I'm going to free some of you this morning. What's the converse of that? Well, you've discovered delight. What's the delight? Listening to God tell you what to do. What's God telling us? This is how to be human. Now, where do you listen to God telling you what to do? Here's the challenge. Jesus, invitation, welcome, challenge, summons. Here's the challenge. Where do you think? where do you think you would listen to God telling you what to do? It's not that complicated. Scripture. Scripture. Just ask yourself this question. Who do you spend more time listening to? Who do you spend more time telling you how to live? The new normal or God? Because you've got competing voices. You've got two different worldviews pulling at you to try to get you to live a particular way and have particular values, goals, and commitments. And listen, I know it's a struggle. I struggle with it every day. I told the Bible study group, try this. Sometimes when I'm in a funk, a blue funk, you know what pulls me out of it? I just think about Scripture. What a powerful tool that is. I think about Scripture, and Paul's words leap off the page at me in a very tangible way, and instead of the blue funk, what happens? I discover delight. Now, does that sound like a simple panacea for all problems? Tim, you're too simplistic. Scripture is not the answer for everything. And I will say back to you resoundingly, it absolutely is the answer. I've discovered this. I know some of you in here have discovered this. The delight of listening to God telling you what to do. Man's search for meaning. Who wrote that, Teresa? Good. Man's search for meaning. Possibly what? A third of all movies are about someone searching for meaning and books. Here's our meaning. Delight, listening to God tell you what to do. What happens? Look what Paul says. You get a surprise. There's a side effect that comes with listening to God tell you what to do. I think you want this side effect. Look at the side effect. You get, as a side effect of listening to God tell you what to do, a whole healed, put together life right now. That sounds so attractive to me. That's redemption. Redemption, and here's where Christians sometimes have their theology a little askew. Redemption is not scrapping that which exists and starting over new. Redemption is taking something that is not in proper working service, God's people who have bought into the new normal. You can't be in proper working service, by the way, as a person or man or woman of God if you buy into the new normal. Can't. You're doing something, but it's not proper working service. You're keeping the ping pong balls from going under the furniture. Redemption is taking that thing that is not working properly and freeing it from that which has enslaved it. Last week, I said, every one of us are slaves to something. Every one of us serves something. Freeing the thing from what has enslaved it and prevents it from proper working service. That's redemption. You see, Paul says it's a whole healed life that is now put together. And there's more and more of that on the way. Think of it this way. We first bought our place on Norris Road. Had 8 acres of woods with it. And that woods had been let go. And a lot of the trees had grapevines on them. You ever see a tree with a grapevine on it? And I had the ranger walk through the woods with me. And he says, you've got to free these trees from these grapevines. He says, because eventually the grapevine will kill the tree. It actually will pull the top right out of the tree. So I went through the woods, and I cut the grapevine right at the base of the tree. And the minute you do that, the grapevine's dead. The grapevine, you see, was preventing the tree from doing and being what a tree is supposed to be. Now, here's what's happened to God's people. And we'll stay with the grapevine analogy. What if you never saw, what if all you ever saw was a woods that every tree had a grapevine on it? What would you think? That's right, Barry. You would think that's normal. You see, that's what's happened. The new normal. We need to show the world there is a way to live that is not entangled and enslaved by something that prevents us from being in proper working service. Redemption is freeing us from that which has enslaved us and stops us. Sometimes we're enslaved by our past. I know I was. Enslaved by my past. Like that grapevine. You know the thing about a grapevine? It starts as a very, very small, almost imperceptible growth around a tree. And in time, it becomes unmanageable. Now, I'm going to invite you today to be freed from that which enslaves you and keeps you from proper working function. Because you know what you'll discover? Does this sound good to you? Delight. How about a life of restful delight versus a life of buying into the new normal, which is exhausting, by the way. And you know it too, don't you? You know why we're drawn to Louis Zamperini? The hero in the book Unbroken, which I advise y'all to read. We're drawn to a man like Louis Zamperini because you know what we see there? We see redemption fleshed out. We see what a human is supposed to be like. And there's some sort of memory in us that echoes. And we say, there's something about that life that clicks with me. There's something about that life that draws me. There's something about that life that seems intuitively right to me. We see a genuinely human one. And books are written about it, and movies are made about it, and people are drawn to it when they come across a story like Louis Zamperini, who was not scrapped, who was not discarded, but Louis Zamperini, in every sense of the word, was freed from that which enslaved him, preventing him from being in proper working service. Genuine humanity, think of it this way. It bubbles to the top, and it clamors for attention. That is what is so singular about being a man or woman of God. Should be singular about being a man or woman of God. There should be something about you that bubbles to the top and clamors for attention. That won't happen if you have been enslaved by something that prevents your proper working service. It can be a bad attitude. A bad attitude can enslave you. A bad memory can enslave you. Work hard for sin, and that I like that description there. Maybe you want to, I haven't told you to be circling things yet today, but maybe you want to circle that one. Work hard for sin. That is exactly what sin does to us. Remember Jesus looks out on the crowd when he starts his ministry, and he sees people working hard for sin, and what does he call them? Weary and worn out, mangled and cast down. Because that's exactly what sin does to us. It draws us in, it mangles us, and then it casts us aside. Work hard for sin. Remember what Jesus said about this? He said, come to me if you're weary and you're worn out. We just went over that, remember? Matthew chapter 11. And why are those people weary and worn out? He says, because you've yoked yourself to the wrong thing. And if you come and if you're yoked to me, I'll give you rest. You'll discover as a side effect the delight of listening to God tell you what to do. Just do this. Experiment with that. Don't take my word for it. Just experiment with that this week in your life. I will guarantee you tangible, concrete changes and results in your life. It'll start with your attitude. Tomorrow you're going to be facing obstacles. Me too. Tomorrow we're going to go out and face the nits and the dragons, aren't we? You're busy. I am too. You're stressed. Yeah, I get it. Life's hard. It is not that easy outside the garden. God said that, didn't he? He said you're going to get thorns and thistles instead of myrtle. Yeah, we deal with the thorns and thistles every day. And unless you're a God or unless you are independent, which neither of us are, either of those things, none of us are that, you must carry life. You must deal with it. My challenge for you to experiment with is turn off the television and think about Scripture and watch. Paul says, you're going to be surprised. You're going to discover this Christian thing, this genuine humanity is delightful. What if we showed the world that kind of faith? Instead of this hang-dogged, legalistic, I'm a Christian, therefore I don't have any fun, don't you want this too, kind of faith? What if we showed them delightful, genuine humanity? If you walk around with and call yourself a Christian, you walk around with a anxiety-ridden, depression life, I don't think that's very attractive. Let's discover the delight. Work hard for sin your whole life, and your pension is death. But God's gift, look at the contrast there. You might want to circle that. God's gift and work hard for sin, and then I drew an arrow between them on mine. And I said, what a contrast. I can either work hard for sin and be a slave of the new normal, or I can accept God's gift and discover the delight held in that. God's gift is what? Real life. Eternal life. Delivered by Jesus, our Lord and Master. When something's delivered to me, UPS came down the other day to my house. They delivered something. I didn't have to go anywhere. God has a gift. What's the gift? Genuine humanity. What's our part in it? Listen to him. How do we listen? Scripture. What do we discover? We discover delight. And this is a gift and it's delivered by Jesus of Nazareth, and I experience redemption. And redemption isn't something that God does begrudgingly. He didn't look down at the world and say, oh my goodness, they've made a mess of things. He didn't have to have his arm twisted. I guess I'm going to have to go down there and fix it. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning, second paragraph there. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first. I love that. I love that picture. Imagine a line of people. And the son stands first in this line of the genuinely human ones. The son stands first in the line of humanity that he restored. That's good. The last sentence is the problem. That's good news. Here's the problem. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. You know what the problem is with God's people? And here, you know, I'm on this soapbox all the time, and you know it. We don't see the life of the Son. So we have no idea what genuine humanity looks like. Therefore, we have no idea what the intended shape of our lives should be. And why don't we see the Son? Because we don't spend time in Scripture. Because that's where we see him. You'll never know your intended shape. You'll never know what genuine humanity is, because Paul says, well, you got to see the original shape, first of all, to know what you're supposed to be. And because we might not read Scripture and we don't know the original shape of humanity, we have no clue of what we are supposed to be. There's the problem. We see the original when we read Scripture, and when we read Scripture, we then know the intended shape that we are to be, and we see it right there in him. What has happened? What's filled in the gap there? What's filled in the gap between original and the intended shape? The new normal. The new normal. We find it. We discover. We're delighted. And the side effect, a whole healed, put together life right now, with more and more life on the way. Let's pray. Our Lord and Master, I pray you would bless these words with your anointing and all who hear these. Amen.